Loving Lord, as we now think about your written word, we pray that here we would encounter your living word, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Do have a seat. When I go into the nursery school at Easter, the first thing I have to do is judge the Easter bonnet competition. High stakes. I tell you, it's quite a hard job, that one. But I'm always struck by how difficult it is to tell the Easter story to those who have perhaps never heard it before, and in particular to the sort of the young and impressionable. Obviously, I don't go into the sort of gory details, but I still find myself trying to sort of reassure them every now and again as the story progresses, don't worry, it's not the end of the story. And I wonder, it's difficult, isn't it? We're so familiar with the accounts of Jesus' death and resurrection that it's really hard to unknow the end of the story. And so we probably find it hard to identify with the shock and the fear experienced by the guards. They'd been placed there by the authorities to make sure that the disciples didn't come and take the body. And they are literally laid flat on the ground with fear. And then the women, and then the other disciples. It's hard to grasp their fear and confusion on that first Easter morning. And I wonder if because of that we miss out on the real earth-shattering, reality-changing sense of awe and wonder that the resurrection should elicit. And instead, you know, we've heard it so many times before, we know it's coming, that maybe we've reduced it to a rather tame resurrection. I don't know if any of you saw the clip of the BBC science editor Rebecca Morrell witnessing the launch of the Artemis II rocket the other day. If you missed it, we've got the video here.
7. Woo. Oh my goodness, oh my goodness! Oh my goodness! Oh! Wow! Oh my goodness! That is spectacular! It's not just what you see and you hear as the rocket lifts off. You can actually feel the force of it through your body. This is the most powerful rocket that NASA has ever built.
Now, being a scientist, she could probably have told you all the details about the rocket, its dimensions, how much fuel it was carrying, its trajectory, all those sort of facts. But her reaction wasn't very scientific, was it? It was very British, I have to say. But it certainly wasn't very scientific. She's quite emotional. She's overcome. She's practically lost for words, except, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. As her breath is literally taken away, as the earth shakes and her words are drowned out by the roar of the engines. And she was 3 miles away from the launch site. So this for her wasn't about cold facts now. She was experiencing awe and wonder. And it strikes me if that's more the kind of reaction that we should have to the resurrection. Off the scale, elation and awe mixed with literally breathtaking wonder. Matthew describes the women coming to Jesus' tomb, but they soon discover that nothing is as it should be or as expected. The earth has been violently shaken, and when they arrive at the tomb, the stone covering its entrance is rolled to one side, and there's someone sitting on it, an angel whose appearance is utterly dazzling. Now, I quite like the image in my mind's eye of the angel sitting on the stone. There's something quite sort of nonchalant about it. Yeah. Look what I just did. piece of cake. I'm going to sit here for a bit and just enjoy the look on the guards' faces. But I think Matthew has a more serious reason for including that description of the angel. We think that a lot of Matthew's original readership were mostly Jewish, and that image would have sparked something in their mind's eye, an image of a covering used to seal a very special container, a covering on which there were carvings of two heavenly beings, a covering which was known as the atonement cover or the mercy seat. It's the lid sealing the Ark of the Covenant in the temple in Jerusalem. And originally, in that special chest, there was Moses' stone tablets on which were written the Ten Commandments, the essence of the law God had given to his people. Later, a golden jar containing some of the manna from heaven, the bread from heaven that God had provided for them as they travelled in the wilderness. And also Aaron's staff, Aaron, the brother of Moses, who became a priest of the Lord. And Matthew's readers would have remembered how each year, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would have ritually bathed and made a sacrifice for his own sins before entering the innermost sanctum of the temple, the most holy place, where he would sprinkle the atonement cover of the ark with the blood from the sacrifice as part of the ritual for making atonement for people's sins. So is Matthew showing us a new ark? The tomb, with its stone seal, contained everything that the original ark had held. In the tomb was the one who said he'd come to fulfill the law, the one who called himself the living bread, the bread of life, the one who himself is our great high priest who enters the very presence of God. In the tomb was the one whose death had been the atoning sacrifice for the redemption of all mankind. But there's one major difference, of course. This ark is empty. Jesus has fulfilled everything the ark symbolized, and the blood that he shed was the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. The atonement cover's not needed anymore. The earth shakes. The stone is rolled away. The lid is off. And God is now well and truly out of the box. Oh my goodness. The ground trembles. He's not here. He's risen, just as he said. Oh my goodness. Breathtakingly, Jesus is out of the box. Hope is out of the box. Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness! Hallelujah. The angel gives the women three instructions, and I think they've been instructions for every reader of this gospel ever since. In every century, in every context, they've been just as important, just as needed as they were on that first Easter day. The first instruction to the women is, don't be afraid, which under the circumstances was pretty understandable. Don't be afraid, I know who you're looking for. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, he has risen. Is that something that we need to hear today, or something perhaps that we need to say to someone that we know? Many come looking for Jesus in their time of pain and desperation and loss, and that's good. We can affirm them in their search and reassure them not to be afraid. As we search for Jesus in our times of pain and desperation, we can take comfort from knowing he's the crucified one who shares our pain. But the reason to not be afraid is because the tomb is empty. The one we can come to and find in our time of need is the one who is the out-of-the-box God, the death-defeating saviour, the living one, full of resurrection power, definitely not contain. The next instruction that the women are given is come and see. Come and see. They're invited to witness for themselves the empty tomb, to experience that breathtaking awe and elation. We can invite others to experience the reality of the resurrection themselves, not just the facts about it, but the reality-changing power of it. And then the women are told to go and tell. They're instructed to go back to the other disciples and tell them Jesus has risen from the dead. He'll meet them in Galilee. Jesus is very definitely out of the box. And again, that is our call too. Now, as much as ever, our friends, families, community need to know that God is out of the box, and we need to tell them of the difference that this resurrected, out-of-the-box God, who was never in the box in the first place, and our Saviour has made in our lives. And to tell them how they can meet him, so that they too will know that hope is alive. And, oh my goodness, whatever their circumstances, they can know life in all its fullness, full of joy, full of peace, and full of hope. Amen.
Our first reading is from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 43. And it's on page 1104 in the Bible. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Chapter 28, beginning to read at verse 1, can be found in the Pew Bibles on page 1000 or on the screen. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus has risen. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."